All right, Titus chapter 2 this evening. Titus chapter 2. We're going to slow down to a crawl for a few weeks here because there's lots of stuff to look at here in Titus chapter 2. Tonight we're going to be looking at just verse number 1 and talking about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul's writing to Titus under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Titus has been left at Crete for two reasons. He was to, according to chapter 1, verse number 5, he was left there to set in order the things that are wanting and to ordain elders in every city. And then the Lord directed Paul to address the elder issue first. And then now he's getting into the second part of setting things in order, teaching the people doctrinal things. And so he says here in chapter 2, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And doctrine is teaching or instruction. All right, so just remember that. That's an important definition. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is instruction. Bible doctrine is teaching or instruction found in the Bible. And doctrine describes many different things. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we would call doctrine. For example, how to be saved. The teaching of how to be saved is doctrine. How to have a flourishing relationship with God, that is doctrine. How to witness for the Lord is doctrine. How to and why to separate from sin and how to have victory over sin. You know, the messages that we looked at in Ephesians dealing with the spiritual armor, that was doctrine on how to have victory over sin. It also covers the conduct of a local church and future events, and a host of other things fall into the subject of doctrine. I've got a book at home that is called 52 Doctrines of the Bible. And it covers a lot of different doctrines, and there's probably even more than that. But lots of different things in the Bible, teachings in the Bible that are doctrinal teachings. Now, because Bible doctrine is confronting, it is challenging, it is convicting, and it is unbending, many churches today give doctrine a back seat because it's not popular. And they don't like doctrine. They replace it with entertainment, with feelings, opinions, emotions, and freedom. In fact, one of the churches in our area, perhaps you've seen the sign out on the front of their logo, it says, "Life without boundaries." That's pretty much like what we're talking about here tonight. Leave the doctrine out of it. Life is without boundaries. Nothing there to keep us bound in and keep us doing what's right. Life is without boundaries. And they post it right on the front of their church. But at least they're being honest with what they believe. All right. And I believe that J. Vernon McGee was right when he said, church must teach sound doctrine or it is not a church. Church must teach sound doctrine or it is not a church. And really that is the bottom line. We've got to have sound doctrine. Now this evening in Titus chapter 2 verse 1, we're going to be find how the Holy Spirit commanded Titus to speak the things that become sound doctrine. And from this and other scriptures, I want us to learn three important truths about Bible doctrine. We're going to be going three things about Bible doctrine. Number one, very obvious, Bible doctrine is biblical. Bible doctrine is biblical. Bible doctrine has several characteristics to it, and we could probably list off, we could spend the rest of the evening just talking about the characteristics of Bible doctrine. But number one that I want us to note is that Bible doctrine is of divine origin. It's of divine origin. What do I mean by that? Divine. Word divine speaks of God, or of something that is beyond us. It's not mortal. It's of divine origin. So Bible doctrine comes from God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So it's the doctrine is part of what we find from the scriptures. And scriptures come from the inspiration of God. It was divinely given to us by God. We find also in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So, Doctrine. It comes from God. It's the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of God. It belongs to God. It came from God. It is God. So it's God's teaching us. You know, there's a lot of people that analyze the Bible and just say, "Oh, it's just a book of, you know, you know, people that have put it together, and it doesn't come from God, and it's just ideas of people, and, you know, some of it you can believe, some of it you can't. It's just a bunch of, you know, things thrown together. But the Bible tells us itself that it is divine in its origin, and we believe that. That is fundamental to what we believe, because if the Bible isn't from God, then we might as well go home. Because if it's just a book of ideas from men, then somebody else's ideas might be just as good, maybe better. And yet we believe that it is from God. It is inspired. So biblical doctrine, Bible doctrine is divine. Secondly, Bible doctrine is recorded in the Bible. It's recorded in the Bible. It is not man-made. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible where we need to read not just what it says, but we can learn from what it says. In Matthew 15:9 is one of those verses. It says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So you think about that. Jesus said they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, the opposite of that is real truth. That the doctrines that are true doctrines are not of men. Right? True doctrine is not of man, but Jesus said that the people in his day, the religious people, were teaching the commandments of men as doctrines. And he said, no, that's not it. True doctrines are biblical. They're from God in a divine origin. Also, the Bible doctrine is preached by the apostles. It's called the apostles' doctrine. It doesn't mean the apostles made it up. It means that the God used the apostles to preach it and to propagate it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and the prayers." So there was the apostles' doctrine. They promoted it. They preached it. They spread it. Also, Bible doctrine is universal. It's universal. God has doctrine not just for us. It isn't just good for Australia. It isn't just good for America. It isn't just good for white people. It's good for the world. It's universal. It's for everyone. And that's why we read in Mark 16:15 when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Because the teachings of the Bible are for everybody. And it's just as good to save us here as it is to save people in Papua New Guinea and save people in India and save people in Africa. It's for everybody the same. The gospel of God, the doctrines of the Bible. Also, the Bible doctrine is permanent. It's permanent. It's unchanging and unchangeable. It's unchanging and unchangeable. It is perpetual. That means it's never ending. It just keeps on. It keeps on remaining the same. It never will change. It is always the same. And we can depend upon the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25. 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which the gospel by the gospel is preached unto you." So he says the word of the Lord endures forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says the same thing. That the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so the Bible is the doctrine of God, and it's permanent, it's continuing, it's unchanging, it always is the same. The doctrine, Bible doctrine also is to be learned and obeyed. Here's another one of those verses where you need to look at not just what it says, but what it's implying. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So, as you look at that, what is he saying? There was a doctrine that we have learned that we're to obey. And if they don't obey it, we're to avoid them. So, in other words, the doctrine of God, God wants us to learn it, and God wants us to obey it. It isn't just something we know about, but it's something we live. And the doctrines we're going to look at here in Titus chapter 2 are all practical doctrines, or most of them. Toward the end, there's some that are spiritual doctrines, but most of them are practical doctrines on how we ought to live our lives as Christians. And so doctrine is very practical, and that brings us to the next of the seven little points here under this, and that is that Bible doctrine is practical, especially in this chapter. He deals with attitudes, he deals with conduct, lifestyles, ministries, domestic duties, as well as our beliefs. So it covers all areas. It's God's teaching for us in every area of life, so that we know how to live our lives, what to believe, how to conduct ourselves, what we're supposed to be doing, and God is instructing us and guiding us in His Word. I like what Bob Utley states. He said, "We must not separate justification from sanctification." Two big words. What do they mean? Justification. Justification deals with our cleansing at salvation. just as if we'd never been sinned, if you want to look at it from that perspective. But it's the cleansing, the complete cleansing we get of salvation, justification. Sanctification is the cleansing throughout life. He did sanctify us. Let me back up. Sanctification is a three-part process. First of all, there's initial sanctification. When we got saved, God did sanctify us. He set us apart, made us a new person in Christ. So there's initial sanctification, but there's progressive sanctification throughout life, where God says He wants us to progressively become more like Christ. We're to set aside more and more things that are ungodly. And as you grow in your faith in Christ, you ought to be setting aside things that ought not to be there. You ought to be saying, oh, I didn't realize I shouldn't say that, or I shouldn't do that. That's going to be out of here. We're going to change that. And you ought to be growing. That's part of the maturity. Same with a child. You know, we expect a child to change some of their bad habits as they, you know, when they're little, they may suck their thumb or wear a nappy. And as they get a little older, you think, all right, well, they've learned to control themselves and they don't need the nappy anymore. And they don't need the sucking the thumb anymore. And they're growing up and they're getting rid of some of the things that were childish. And as we grow as a Christian, we ought to be also putting aside childish things that of our old nature that we didn't realize were wrong. And now we can see, I want to become more holy and I want to be more like Christ. So it's progressive sanctification. Now, what I want to do now is just for very briefly, and if you're going to try to take notes on this, you'll probably get swamped unless you're a fast writer. But I want to go through the book of Titus alone and just note some of the doctrinal issues that he mentions just in this book. And if you want to download the notes off the web, that's probably the easiest way. But I've got 21 different doctrinal mentions here in the book, and we're just going to briefly kind of highlight them and move on from there. Chapter 1, verse number 3, we find that the Scripture is to be our guide. Chapter 1, verse number 3, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So he mentions the Scripture, and the Scripture is to be our guide. The second one is scrutiny in choosing a pastor. We saw that in verses 6 to 9. He gives us all these details of what to look for in a pastor. So scrutiny in finding a pastor. Number 3 is to stop spiritual opposition. We saw that in verses 10 to 16. 10 to 16, where he says that there in verse 10, that there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped. And he goes on and he describes that duty to stop that. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, the verse we're looking at tonight, it deals with speaking only healthy teachings. Healthy teachings in chapter 2, verse 1. Then in chapter 2, verses 2 to 10, it's saintly conduct. He's dealing with saintly conduct here, and we're going to see that in the next several weeks, where he talks to the aged men, the aged women, the younger men, the younger men, and how they're to live their lives, how to conduct themselves. So the saintly conduct. Then number 7 is that we're saved by grace, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. All right, so the grace of God, we're saved by grace. That's another doctrine of the Bible. And then salvation is for all. Again, here in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has bringeth salvation that's appeared to all men. All right, so there's another doctrine, another aspect of salvation. And then verse number 12 is separation from evil, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So there's a separation from evil. Verse 12 again is the second coming of Christ. The Lord's coming back. Verse number 13 deals with the security of the believer, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that hope is that security. Christ is coming, I'm going to heaven, and that is a secure promise to us. Verse 13 again speaks of the Savior's deity. All right, it speaks of the Savior's deity, the great God and our Savior. We'll look at that more detail when we get to that point, but that's a deity verse. Verse 14 talks about the substitutionary atonement and propitiation. Verse 14, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So there's the sanctification. He gave Himself for us to propitiate, to pay the debt of our sin. And then the sanctification in verse number 14 is dealing with to purify us, to make us more like Him. That's sanctification. And then verse 14 again is service for the Lord, that God expects us to service, that we might be zealous of good works. And then verse 15 is sound preaching. these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. See, what we're looking at is we're finding doctrines all through here. And just a few more here in chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 1 talks about submission to authority. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, and to be magistrates and to be ready for every good work. And then in verse 4 of chapter 3, it talks about the Savior's love. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And then verse 5, the salvation is not of works, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And verse number 7, that the saints have an inheritance, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then chapter 3, 9 to 11 speaks of the scriptural church discipline. And so, all through the book, and there's probably a lot more that we could find in here, but what I want you to see here is that as you read the Bible, as you're reading through a book, watch for things like this. Watch for teachings. These are not just, you know, not just things that man have come up with. These are things that God is telling us. Here's how I want you to conduct yourself in these various ways. This is what I want you to believe. This is what I want you to believe about me. This is what I want you to believe about salvation. This is what I want you to believe about your conduct with others. This, all these things are to teach us. So they're teachings, they're doctrines. And I took the time to go through that list with you just primarily so you can see that there's doctrine all through this book, but it's true with all the other books as well. But particularly the epistles and the letters of Paul and that are very full of doctrine. Now, not only does the Bible doctrine address many issues and that the Bible doctrine has several characteristics, this is all about the biblicalness of the doctrine. But then secondly, Bible doctrine must be sound. It must become sound. He says there in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All right, now I want you to think with me for a little bit here so I don't confuse you, because I'm not intending to do that. But first of all, doctrine is sound. Biblical doctrine is sound. The word sound there is that word that we saw earlier that means healthy. It's healthy. All right, so sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. And Bible doctrine is healthy because it is God's teaching. It's healthy because it's good for us. It's healthy. It'll make us strong Christians because it is God's. And God is dependable. He makes no mistakes. We can trust what God said. God's word is faithful and dependable for us. And we can depend upon it. Healthy, something that is healthy is the normal condition of the body. You know, if we say we are healthy, somebody says, how you feeling? Well, I'm healthy. That means I am in a normal condition of the body. As far as I know, everything's functioning the way it's supposed to work. I am healthy. But when something is not functioning properly, we say, well, I'm not very healthy because something's not working the way it's supposed to. So healthy doctrine is doctrine that is the way God designed it, the way God wants it to be, that we need to understand it the biblical way. And this term healthy, he uses this over and over again throughout the book. We saw it back in chapter 1, verse 9. We saw it in 1:13. We saw it here in this verse, and then also in verse 2 and verse number 8 of this chapter as well. He uses the term healthy this sound doctrine. Now, in the last days, God tells us that men will not tolerate sound doctrine. They're not going to tolerate it. And we see that all around us. Flip over just back a couple pages, maybe one page, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, it doesn't mean the teachers have itching ears. It means that it's a way that the Holy Spirit described people. They have itching ears. They want to hear something that tickles their ears, something that makes me feel good. I don't want to hear this harsh stuff, you know, where God says I must do it this way. I want something that's going to make me feel good, something that I don't have to change anything. Let me just, you know, life without boundaries. That's what they're looking for. You know, I don't want that. I want something to let me free to do what I want to do. And so they want their ears tickled. So he says that they will heap to themselves teachers. All right, and they're going to get all kinds of teachers. And you look around us today, you don't have to look very far. Everywhere you turn, the internet's full of it. Everywhere you turn, there's teachers having all this new kind of ideas. Well, it'll make us feel good. And if you don't find one here, then flip the channel. All right, you know, change, or you know, just keep looking. You'll find one. But it'll itch my ears the way I want them itched. And that's exactly what he says would happen here. And he says that they shall turn away their ears from what? What's the next word? Verse 4. They turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want the truth. They don't want the truth. Instead, they're going to replace it with, what's it say at the end of the verse?
Fables.
Stories. Something that's not true. Something that makes them feel good. And so, in the last days, they're not going to tolerate sound doctrine. So this is, he's addressing Titus, and he said, now Titus, I want you to speak things that become sound doctrine. Now the word become, here's where I want you to listen carefully. The word become, many times in the Bible, just means more what we think of as become. But in this particular case, the word that is translated literally means to stand out or to be conspicuous. Something that becomes obvious. Something that is standing out. So it means to stand out, to be conspicuous. Titus was to speak things that stand out as healthy doctrine. So he says, Titus, I want you to speak the things that really stand out as healthy doctrine. That means he wasn't going to be able to preach every single little tiny bit of doctrine, but he says, speak the things that stand out as healthy doctrine. These are things that are obviously important if we're going to have healthy doctrine. And that's important for us because the Spirit of God is telling them to do this. And then when we see what He tells them, then it clicks and we say, wow, God's saying this stuff is standing out as healthy doctrine. And that's when He goes on and He says in the next verse, and we'll preach on the next week, but He says, in the aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, and so on. He says, these things are standing out as sound doctrine. They're the ones that really stick out, that are important, because they're part of our daily life. See, all the doctrines are important, and he wasn't saying that some are more important than others. He's saying, speak to the things that are standing out in a sense that they're very important for our life right now. Things that are very important for us to help us. Now, Bible doctrine especially stands out as the healthy doctrine is compared to the unhealthy doctrine that was mentioned in chapter 1. In chapter 1, in verse number 11, says, whose mouths must be stopped to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. All right? So there was teaching that was subverting people. It was confusing people. It was turning people upside down. It was messing up their lives spiritually. He says, Titus, I don't want you preaching that kind of doctrine. I want you preaching healthy doctrine that stands out as something that will help them to become more what they ought to be in the eyes of God. So doctrine must become sound. Now it is sound because it belongs to God, but it becomes sound in the sense that it stands out as sound. So he says, I want you to speak the things that are standing out as sound doctrine. Then, thirdly, Bible doctrine must be spoken. Bible doctrine must be spoken. So we've seen, first of all, that Bible doctrine is biblical. Secondly, that Bible doctrine must be sound. Thirdly, Bible doctrine must be spoken. He says there, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, just a little bit of technicalness here that I think is important. In the original language, you could say the same thing without emphasizing the word you. You could just say, and we do that today too. You could say, he could have said, speak the things that become sound doctrine. But he put the word you in there for an important reason. He says, speak thou, or you, speak this, Titus. And he's doing that in contrast to what we saw back in chapter 1, verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped. And then he says, but you, speak the things that are sound doctrine. He says, there's emphasis there. He says, I want you to speak this as opposed to what they spoke. And so there is a contrast in the word there in thou. Now, speaking about the things that are sound doctrine is the preacher's duty. It's the preacher's duty. We are to preach sound doctrine. But you know, as Christians, all of us need to know sound doctrine, and we're to share sound doctrine. When we talk to each other, we're to discuss sound doctrine. You know, that last night, as I was meditating over the picnic and the day and things of that nature, one of the things that the Lord kind of rebuked me about is that, at least, and I can't say this for anybody else, I'm talking about my conversations, because I didn't hear all your conversations. Maybe you did. But I was thinking about my conversations. How much did I talk about the Lord during the day? How much did I bring up anything I learned in the Bible during the day? We talked about all kinds of things, but not what I've been learning in my Bible lately. You know, we really need to get in the habit of doing that. We really need to. It sounds, you know, if we start talking about the Bible, we get the feeling like, well, I'm just sounding like I'm a pious Joe. You know, I don't want to do that. Or I feel like I'm no more than you do. No, it shouldn't be that way. We should share the Bible with each other regularly. This is what I just learned today. Did you know that? Look at what I just saw today in my Bible reading. What did you get out of your Bible reading today? And we ought to be doing that. It would be great if we did that. And if every time we get together for a church activity, instead of talking about the weather and about, you know, everything else that's going on, talk about, hey, look what I looked in the book. Find what the Bible. That is great. And just sharing things with what we learned in our Bible. That would do us so much good if we did that. But it's going to take work. And I'm shooting at myself because I'm the one to blame. Yesterday, I don't think I said one thing to anybody that I can remember that was spiritually oriented to try to build them up and edify them. That we had a wholesome time. I'm not saying we're talking about bad things. And there's nothing wrong with talking about, you know, the things around us and the nature and the flowers and the things, you know, the beauty of nature. But we really need to incorporate that. And the Lord really kind of rebuked me for that last night. And I'm going to try working at it, and I hope you'll do the same. Now, we need to... Well, we did do. Okay, good. But I wasn't a total failure then. Good. Okay. All right. Do you remember, you know, we talked, and I mentioned just a few moments ago, Titus's two main duties. It's two main duties. Back in chapter 1, verse number 5, they were to ordain elders and to set things in order that are left undone. And thus, speaking of sound doctrine is a duty for every local church. It is something he's teaching these local churches in Crete that they need to have sound doctrine. And he's speaking to them sound doctrine. He's saying this is something that's important for all of us. We need this sound doctrine. And we need to make sure that we do not minimize doctrine and maximize entertainment. We need to do it the other way around. We need to maximize doctrine and minimize entertainment. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. But the main purpose of our local church is to be around doctrine. Now today, there is an ignorance of doctrine in the local churches. We must learn doctrine through two ways. God said that we're to learn it through preaching and we're to learn it through personal study. And you folk are good about coming to hear the preaching. I'm not in your home to see your personal study. But both of those are important for us to learn doctrine. And I can tell you the truth. You will learn more doctrine in your personal study if you'll put your heart into it than you'll learn through preaching. Now, I'm not saying that I'm belittling preaching. But I know from my own personal experience, I learn a whole lot more when I dig into it and I have to search for the answers and I dig and read in and cross-reference and looking up all kinds of verses. I am learning immensely. But just sitting and listening is important. That's very important. But you'll also learn a great deal if you'll study yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So God expects us to study the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, Peter was writing to not a preacher. Now, you could say, well, Timothy here, Paul was writing to Timothy, and so that's to a preacher. Well, perhaps. But Peter wasn't. Peter was writing to the lay people. And he was saying to them, you need to sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Make God special in your heart. And he said, to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the hope that's in you. We need to have answers for people around us. When they ask us a question, we need to have an answer for it. And, you know, it shouldn't be just a shallow, empty, nothing answer. It should be a biblical answer. And in order to have biblical answers on all different subjects and all different issues, we're going to have to study. It's going to have to be dig into it. And so I encourage you to not be satisfied. Maybe you're doing that some. Well, keep digging. Don't quit. Don't slow down. Keep digging and pursue that. Then also, we must know sound doctrine in order to speak it. You know, when we look at what Paul was writing to Titus here under the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." What if Titus would have said, you know, boy, that's going to be tough because I just don't know very much about doctrine. How am I going to do this? This is going to be hard. He didn't do that, and I know that he goes on and he tells him what he's supposed to talk about, but he doesn't go into details. He's expecting Titus to go into the details on it because he felt that Titus was a man of God who studied and knew how to explain these things and how to teach the older men to be temperate and how to teach them to be grave and sober and sound in the faith and in charity. He knew how to do that. So he was mature in these areas. And so all I'm saying is we need to know sound doctrine before we can teach sound doctrine or speak sound doctrine. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." It means to be in season, out of season, the idea of you're ready all the time. Doesn't matter what season it is, I'm ready. And we're going to preach the word or tell people about Christ. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So Paul was writing to Timothy and saying, Timothy, you need to give attendance. You need to make it a big deal. You need to make a priority of reading, exhorting, and doctrine. Now, he was probably talking about in the service. He was probably talking about reading scriptures in the service and exhorting the people and teaching doctrine. But in order to do that, it has to be also a personal practice as well. It isn't just a public practice, it's got to be a personal practice. And so we need to get it in both places. Now, every Christian needs to know sound doctrine if he's going to speak it in his witness and his defense. There's two times, in our witness and our defense, those are the two times that we need to know sound doctrine. Our witness is telling people about Christ, our defense is defending what we believe when they come after us. And we need to know it in both cases. And not just the real basics. I think all of us here tonight would know the basics. If somebody came to you and said, you know, how does a person go to heaven? I think you could probably tell them. Unless you certainly ought to be able to tell them that. But to go beyond that and to be able to find the verses, you might be able to say, you know, if I came to you and I didn't know the Lord and I said, you know, would you please explain to me from the Bible how I can come to know Jesus? Would you be able to take your Bible and open it up and find verses one right after another that would be able to lead them to Christ? Or would you choke? You can maybe think, well, I know there's a verse in there that says, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of... Where was that? It's in there somewhere. I'm not sure where. But it does say that. I'm sure. Well, I don't believe you. Where is it? Well, yeah. All right. See, we've got to know not just the basics, but we've got to be able to find it. You've got to, you know, it's going to take some work. You've got to be able to memorize some things and to work at it and deal. And, you know, I know that it's, memorization is one of those things that's not easy. Garrett and I were talking about it this morning. I found a memorization program on the web that's a free download, free, everything's free about it. And it's very good. You can set any pace you want. You can go as fast as you want. And I'm at a killer pace. I'm adding one new verse every day. And I've been doing that since February. And it's keeping me hopping. All right. But you can slow it down. You can do it one a week. You can do it two a week. You can do it one a month. You know, you can put it at any pace you want. It brings the verses back up to review them in all kinds of, in random order. It brings up, you can, the reference, and you got to say the verse, or it'll put up the verse and you got to say the reference. You can type out the verse. You can type out the, you know, first letter of every word in the verse. I mean, it is very versatile and it is a great way to help you memorize the Bible at any pace you want to do it. And if you're interested, come see me and I'll help you with that. But the big thing is, all I'm saying, you don't have to use that. You can use it right on the cards. You can do something. But let's do something. Let's just not sit back and say, well, I can't memorize. Well, of course you can't if you don't work at it. Nobody can if you don't work at it. But if you determine in your heart, God wants me to know, and start with the basic plan of salvation. Take the new tract that we've just printed. Get every one of the verses that are in that. Write them down and learn them. And memorize those verses so that you can at least be able to go through the gospel with somebody. I mean, you ought to be able, every Christian that's been saved for more than just a few months ought to be able to take the Bible and show somebody else verses from the Bible how to be saved. And if you get really stuck and you're having a really hard time, get a little New Testament and memorize the first verse where you start, and then in the margin, write small there for the reference to the next verse. And then you can know where to go for the next one. And at least it kind of gives you a crutch to get yourself through. But do something. Do something. Because we need to know doctrine. And the least we can do is to know the doctrine clear enough to lead someone to Christ. Because we need that. We really, really need that. And then you need to start using it and sharing it with others and talking to people about Christ and passing out tracts and inviting them to Christ. You know, God wants every Christian to hear sound doctrine. He wants every Christian to know sound doctrine. And He wants every Christian to live sound doctrine. It's got to be part of our life. And God is expecting this from us. And so He says to Titus here, "But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine." The things that are lifting up sound doctrine, that are promoting sound doctrine, the things that are standing out as sound doctrine. And He says, I want you to do that. It's important. It's important. And it was important for Titus, and it was important for him to teach the people of these churches, and it's important for us to learn that we might do it as well. And so my challenge to you tonight is this: how well do you know Bible doctrine? I mean, if we were to have a basic Bible doctrine test, how well would you do? You know, we really need to know our Bible doctrine far better than we do. And I know that, you know, we are not photographic memory people. If we were, you know, we'd all know it far better than we do. But it's going to take work. We need to know our Bible doctrine. Do cults and charismatic people shake you up with, you know, or do you stand firm on God's word when you talk to them? You know, when you talk to those kind of people and they start saying some of those things and they sound pretty persuasive, does it get you shaky and think, well, oh boy, I don't know what to say, and maybe they're right, maybe I'm wrong? If it does that, you don't know your doctrine very well. We've got to know sound doctrine. Get in your Bible and study it out so you know how to answer them that ask questions like that. Does your lifestyle reflect a practical application of sound doctrine? Does it show, you know, when somebody says, well, why do you live like that? Why do you do that? Because I believe that's what the Bible says. And here's why. Here's my reasons behind this. This is why I do what I do. This is why I live like I do. This is the way I talk like I do. This is why I do the things that I do. This is all based on the Bible. And it's time that each of us get serious about learning, living, and speaking sound doctrine. So my challenge tonight is that we'll do that. Just ask God, God, help me to start learning sound doctrine. And start with the basics. Get one of those tracts or any gospel tract that's got lots of good Bible verses in it and start memorizing those verses and putting them together in your mind so that you could share the gospel with somebody using those verses. And just practice with the dog or practice with your cat or practice with your pillow or whatever you want. I don't care, but practice. All right? Learn how to do it. And so that you can share the gospel with other people. Because we really need to do that. And if we don't do it, we're not going to reach others for Christ. And I know we live in a tough world. We live in that age where men love fables more than the truth. But that doesn't excuse us for preaching the truth. We've got to keep doing it. And so, let's get into the book.